A cry for the abolition of poverty. There are chains not forged of iron, and yet they bind more cruelly than any shackles ever struck upon the anvil of tyranny. There are markets in which no bodies are auctioned, and yet whole lives are battered away. We flatter ourselves that slavery is buried, that its memory rests sealed in history's tomb. But I ask you plainly, if a person's labor is owned by necessity, if their choices are stripped by deprivation, if their dignity is measured only by their utility, what name shall we give this condition, if not slavery reborn? Poverty is not misfortune. It is not accident. It is not the failing of those who endure it. It is a system constructed, maintained, and defended that confines millions to lives of perpetual extraction. It compels obedience not with whips, but with hunger, not with chains, but with rent, not with overseers, but with the quiet terror of falling further still. And in this system, we have learned to avert our gaze, to call it natural, to name it inevitable. But there is nothing inevitable about the caging of human potential. The abolitionists of old stood before a world that insisted slavery was necessary, that economies would collapse without it, that civilization itself depended upon it. They answered not with timid reform, but with moral clarity. No system that reduces a human being to a tool can be justified. Today, we must summon that same clarity. Poverty, like slavery, is a structure that converts human life into raw material. It is enforced by policy, sustained by indifference, and excused by nothing more than a myth. Consider the teacher, charged with awakening minds, with shaping the citizens of tomorrow. Yet what is her condition? She is told to perform miracles with nothing, to inspire in overcrowded rooms, to nourish intelligence while her own spirit is starved. She must appear effective, must demonstrate progress measured in numbers and reports. For failure carries a threat more immediate than disgrace. It carries the specter of poverty itself. And so she is forced into a cruel theater, to pretend mastery over conditions she does not control, to mask the erosion of her purpose beneath the layers of administrative illusion. Is this not a form of bondage? To labor under constant fear? To surrender truth for survival? And what of the children entrusted to her care? Those born into deprivation are not merely denied comfort. They are denied time. Time to wonder, time to wonder, Time to reach for the great stories that stretch the soul beyond its immediate horizon. The child of poverty does not sit beneath a tree with a book of heroes and adventures. He sits beneath the weight of instability, of hunger, of noise that never quiets into thought. His world is narrowed before it is even known. When shall he discover courage, if survival consumes him? When shall he dream, if every waking hour whispers of limits? We speak often of equality. Yet what equality exists between the child who inherits libraries and the child who inherits exhaustion? And the father? How shall we judge him? He rises before dawn and returns long after dusk. His strength poured out in service of mere subsistence. We ask why he does not read, why he does not teach, why he does not inspire his children with wisdom and presence. But when, I ask you, shall he do so? When his body is spent, when his mind is dulled by ceaseless labor, he is not absent by choice. Is absent by design. A system that consumes his hours consumes also his voice, his example, his knowledge, wisdom, and greatness and legacy. It leaves behind not a man unwilling to guide, but a man deprived of the very means to do so. Is this freedom? We are told that the market rewards excellence, that effort yields success, that greatness rises naturally. Yet look around. Look around what has become of our culture. The desperate need to make a sale, to secure the next transaction, has hollowed out the very idea of greatness. Creation bends to consumption. Integrity yields to persuasion. Even our highest aspirations are filtered through the question, will it sell? Thus, the artist becomes a vendor, the thinker a brand, the teacher a performer, the worker a unit of output. In such a world, how shall greatness survive? It cannot breathe where everything is priced and nothing is valued beyond its exchange. The old abolitionists called upon the conscience of a nation. They asked their fellow citizens to see the enslaved not as property, but as brothers and sisters. Am I not a man and a brother? Am I not a woman and a sister? It was not merely a question. It was an indictment. It forced recognition where denial had reigned. So let us ask again, in our time now. Is the impoverished teacher not a woman and a sister? Is the struggling father not a man and a brother? Is the child deprived of wonder not one of our own? If we answer yes, and we must, then we cannot tolerate a system that treats them as expendable. To abolish poverty is not to distribute charity. It is to dismantle the machinery that produces it. It is to guarantee not merely survival, but the conditions for human flourishing. Time to think, to learn, to create, to love, to seek out all the wisdom in the world, to become a great being. It is to protect every person from being reduced to the status of livestock, fed only enough to labor, sheltered only enough to endure, valued only for their output. We recoil at the image of human beings treated as farm animals. Yet how often do we accept its modern equivalent? When workers are driven to exhaustion without security, when children are deprived of intellectual nourishment, when entire communities are maintained in a state of dependency, what is this, if not the management of human lives for maximum extraction? Let us awaken the old heroes as guides. Let their courage remind us that no injustice is too entrenched to challenge, no system too vast to dismantle. They stood against an order that seemed eternal, and they broke it. So too must we. The age of poverty must end. The question before us is not whether we can afford to abolish poverty. It is whether we can afford not to. For every mind stifled, every voice silenced, every life constrained diminishes us all. A society that accepts such waste forfeits its claim to greatness.